Shar, I just have to say, man, Dave Parker is becoming maybe my favorite person at TSN. The videos that he sends in the group chat are outstanding just to rattle the pots and pans in Strudwick and Rashog's kitchen.
Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed with him, actually, and kind of tired of him. It's been like 10, 12 years of working with him.
Yeah.
And he's not supportive in situations like this, and it's not appreciated.
Oh, no, it's appreciated quite a bit. I love it.
I don't think he's actually that funny, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, he never has been. He never has been.
No.
He's one of those guys, and everyone thinks he's so funny. We'll be sitting at dinners, and he'll make fun of me, and everybody laughs so hard, right. And I just don't find it funny at all.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So we'll get this organized and we'll get out there and to just drag a stay of execution for you and I at some point. I'm thinking
Tuesday or Thursday though. We can't do her on a game day because then the game days start too early. So Tuesday or Thursday if that works.
Oh yeah, we'd probably do it Thursday.
Let's see what Parker wants. Obviously, yeah. He's the main show in this whole thing.
Yeah, we could do it on Thursday.
Get it over with tomorrow. Let's just get it done.
Nah. Might not be enough time to organize it. Speaking of get it done, the Dallas Star. Actually, before we get to that, there was the report. The Finnish paper had tweeted out that Draisaitl won the Hart, and then they took it down. And it has a lot of people speculating that indeed that's the case. I believe Draisaitl wins the Hart. I actually believe he wins both, because if you look at you know, if he finishes the regular season on the pace that he was on and everybody else, he would have been 18 points ahead of everybody else. I think that's a pretty big margin in the eyes of the players and everybody else. I think he wins. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I think that there's a certain point where, you know, people tend to get a little bit tricky with the definition and value of the team and that sort of thing. I think there's a certain point where when you dominate and you put a spread between yourself and everybody else, like he was on pace to do, I think you win over all the arguments just by sheer force of production. And I think, you know, the season that he had last year, I think opened a lot of players' eyes that, you know, he could legitimately be a superstar. I think everybody knew that. So I don't think he really proved anything to people this year and other players that they didn't already know. I don't think he's considered a newcomer on the superstar scene. He would have been last year as well. And I think that it's too dominating an offensive performance. And I think he just really, really showed again for another season that he doesn't need anybody. Like he can absolutely drive a world-class level of offense on his own.
Is there the other side of the garment that you know? You could see someone making the case that it's not going to be Leon. It'd be one Leon, and one of the other two would be a more deserving candidate for the Hart Trophy specifically.
Is there an argument? Well, sure. I mean, that's where you get into the definition and you start looking at guys in their point totals and what the next highest scoring guy on their team did, right? And where it just shows the amount of offense that player produced compared to the rest of his team and how lost the team would have been without that player more than any other player. And I think that there are certain years where there are arguments to be made for that. I just don't think in a year where a guy establishes himself so dominant offensively is the year to get too tied up in. I mean, when a guy blows the doors off the thing, I think you just give the award to him.
Talking with Ryan Rashog from TSN. Shogger, game one came and went. The Dallas Stars had a great start. Is that because of the way they played, or do you think Tampa was maybe a little tired after what was maybe a little bit longer series than expected from the Islanders?
Yeah, I think we can probably give Tampa a little bit of slack for starting the Stanley Cup final late. Because of what their schedule was, they were the more fatigued team, didn't have as much rest. So I think there's a certain amount of slack we can give them guys. But at the same time, I think we got to be careful with that because Dallas came out and they played physical, they played fast, they did what they wanted to do. You know, the Lightning found their legs. So how can you say that a team was tired when they got better as the game went on, right? Like, are your legs heavier early in the game and it takes you longer? Yeah, maybe. I just think Dallas punched him in the nose a little bit with a different style of play than they had against the Islanders. And I think it took some time to adjust. But I heard you talking earlier, Strudy, about, well, is the third period what we're going to see? Or is the first couple periods what we're going to see? And I think it'll be a hybrid. I think it'll be somewhere in the middle. Tampa's going to be better early. But I think Dallas feels they can be better in some ways, too. So I think we'll see. I think we'll see Tampa with more of the shot share early tonight, but I think Dallas will continue to be physical and opportunistic.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. Shogard, do you think Steven Stamkos dresses tonight? Because I could see the argument to dress him, even if he's only playing limited minutes on the power play, because you've been playing with 11 and 7, and Hedman plays half the game. I don't think you have to have 7 defensemen.
So I listened to John Cooper the other day, and someone brought up that very point to him, Greg. And it's a fair point, because he's that good a power play player. But he said that the guy's got to play. He's got to be in shape, he's got to be ready, and he's got to be able to play at this time of year. Yeah, you know, who wants to sit on the bench and go out there every, you know, 14 minutes on a power play and otherwise just sit? I don't think it's dress Stamkos and put him out only on the power play type situation, based on what Cooper said. Now, I also saw in a tweet of yours today how much their power play is struggling, and I think that lends more reason as to why they would consider it, but I watched the video that they released today of practice, and the one thing that was very obvious, they had a couple shots of Stamkos just buckled, bent over, just gasping for breath. You could tell he had really, really gassed himself today. And that tells me it's a conditioning-style skate designed to get him ready to go here sooner rather than later. So I'm going to say no tonight, possibility for game three.
Yeah, it's getting close, and he does, you know, the thing is he's such a dangerous player. And he's maybe not the guy he was a couple of years ago, but he's such a dangerous player, and I think it, you know, I wouldn't put him on my top line, but I definitely have him in there somewhere, even if he's only 78%, because he's a one-shot guy. And I don't think your shot is the big issue. Getting there might be the problem when you're coming back from an injury, but the shot's not the problem, I don't think, Shogger.
No, and on the video, you could see him shooting.
Okay.
So in a couple of the videos that that came out of the building today showed him shooting a one-timer. And so I don't think the release and the shot are the issue in the moment. I think it probably has to do with making sure the injury is sealed up and not going to risk re-injuring it at full exertion. I think it has to do with getting his legs where they need to be for him to just step in after so long off and not be at risk. So I think this is about letting the injury finish healing, letting the conditioning get there. They're not in an urgent situation, and I think all things being equal, they feel like they can win a game without him, and so make sure. And I could see them, if they lose tonight, I could see them definitely digging in and putting him in there at all costs on for game three.
You know, as we all know, that special attention is paid to star players by the opposing team, whether you're Heiskanen or you're Hedman or, in this case, Braden Point. And it sure felt, as I watched that game, that Dallas was giving him special, you know, maybe a little extra rough ride here and there. Case in point, when Joel the Finn really kind of gave him a little shot on that goal. But, you know, he's obviously feeling some effects of some kind of lingering or some injury he's got. Do you see anything he could do to kind of maybe create a little space and get himself going after what was a tougher first game, along with a lot of the guys for Tampa?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they did a good job, and Kiberanto put a good lick on him there. I think, he exposed himself. Like, that was not and I get why he did it. He's trying to be tricky and elusive, and I don't think he was trying to draw a penalty, but he turned last second, like, dangerously, to the point where he put himself in danger. I didn't like that play from him at all. Not because I thought he was trying to draw a penalty, but because I thought it was an unsafe thing to do. He had the puck, both hands on his stick, and he turns. So that hit looked really bad, but Kiberanto had already engaged. That's not his fault at all. But I agree. I think they did a good job making life difficult for him. And that's a real good way to play him. The one thing he's come up against, they've got defensemen that can move. Really mobile guys that cover space well. Even Oleksiak, you know, for his size, gets around really well out there. So, you know, if you watch these guys play him one-on-one, they have the foot speed and the mobility to, you know, to get there and to get hits in on him and stuff. So this is a different decor, and I think it's a good matchup for Dallas against him to be able to skate with him and be physical on him.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, We see the Detroit Red Wings. We had Kevin Woodley on earlier, talked about, hey, if Markstrom goes to market, don't be surprised if the Red Wings possibly make a pitch for him. But that means, of course, that they are moving on from their netminder, Jimmy Howard, a veteran, who Ken Holland obviously knows. Do you think there's a connection to him possibly being the replacement for Mike Smith?
Yeah, maybe. And I'm driving to the rink, guys, so I apologize. I don't have his numbers right in front of me, and I can't search him up really quick. But so I don't know if you can grab his stats from his stats.
I know
from
last season. Like his expected goals against and different. Like he faced a lot of shots. And his numbers were actually pretty competitive for a team that gave up a lot. I remember Woodley broke it down about a month ago on our show.
Yeah, I mean, I think, sure, put him on the list of guys that if the number figure makes sense, you would consider. He's an older guy. So I think at a certain point, you got to stop going back to the well.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to – and I'm not saying you don't do it because he knows him from Detroit. But I think you got to really question yourself and say, hey, am I making safe plays that feel safe here, or am I making, you know, the absolute right play? Ken Holland's too much of a veteran to get sucked into that sort of thing. But it's got to make perfect sense, right? It's got to make absolute perfect sense, and you got to get the right intel on him. You got to make the right read on this. This is an important move for them to make sure they bring the right guy in, and it's going to have to be somebody that can challenge Mikko Koskinen for the number one job. This can't be about finding a backup and letting Koskinen run with it, or they haven't improved at the position. And whether Jimmy Howard can still do that at this stage or not, I'm not sure, but they need to make sure.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's so, is that your number one priority, the goaltender for them, Edmonton Oilers?
I think it's their most realistic priority for them to fill properly. You know, I think of all the things on their to-do list, I think it's the most likely that they can get that done the right way. Because there's lots on the trade market, because there's lots on the free agent market, I think they should have an opportunity to address this properly. They also badly need a third-line center. That is going to be harder to do. They don't have a lot of cap space. The cap did not go up like they would have liked. It's going to be hard to bring a guy in, so you bring a... You make a trade and bring a 20-something-year-old guy that you've got under contract for the next 3 years, great. Well, now what about the expansion draft? Now you're losing Caleb Jones, essentially, if you do that. So it's going to be difficult for them to do some of the other things that are on their list. The goaltending, to me, feels the most doable.
Yeah, it's. I hear you. I guess, do you need to bring someone? So I don't want to bring this whole Chicago Blackhawks situation up, but I saw a compete issue. Maybe didn't see it much during the regular season, but I saw a team that wasn't battling in the battlers, which is, you know, blocking shots in their own zone, you know, their net front presence, how they work in their own zone, winning wall battles. Do you need to bring someone in that can help up that? And I'm not talking about grit. I'm just talking about a guy with a Pageau that plays with that type of, you know, determination so everyone follows. Or is that kind of the natural progression of a team that has a little big success and then they definitely get a kind of punch in the nose this restart?
I think it can be both, Streds. I think that what you just said, I think the team can learn those lessons, and I think some of these guys will. I think the next time the Oilers get to the playoffs, if it's after next season, I would expect that if Zach Cassian's still part of the team at that point, that they'll get more from him. I would expect that Oscar Klefbom will be better than he was in this playoff series. I would expect Adam Larson, if he's still here, same thing. I think McDavid and Draisaitl, this is another playoff experience for them. Well, they'll have learned some lessons, and they'll apply those lessons as well. So I think it can be they have to learn from what was lacking this year. But to your point, look at the Dallas Stars, right? All the really good young players that they have. They add Pavelski and Corey Perry. I mean, players who matter in this series. These are legit playoff performers who have been through these battles that matter. And they play in different parts of the lineup, but that doesn't matter. So to add guys who know what it takes, to add guys who can demand that everybody around them elevate in the emotional ways that you talk about, I think it would be ideal if they could. I'm not sure who the guy is or how, but of course, I'm sure they would like to if they could.
Shauger, enjoy the game. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, man.